Welcome, folks.
Log Talk Radio.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Going straight to the hole. You ain't got no game. I'm breaking you out the frame. Coming through like a train. Locking and takes over the whole world is my goal. With my unstoppable crew taking all control. You can't get none of this. We're running this. Well, take a earthshaker. 3-point gun in this. Get out the lane. I'm coming through. And if you don't want to move, I'm coming right through you.
It's like inch by inch and step by step. I'm closing in on your position. And destruction is my mission. No, 8 is not enough. The whole squad better duck. It's like switch when I bust. Through my area, I'ma have to bury ya. The real scream team on your screen scene. It's like showdown under Rango. Tell me who wanna tangle with together. Which got the neighborhood superhero.
Pain upon the brain, untamed. You won't like it when I change into a type strange. Make low maniacal, monster in the game. And I got my eye on you, dead shot aim. My free throws keep coming down like rain. You feeling me, I'm feeling you, the monster gang. I'm telling you, pass me the rock, now I'm headed to the basket. Get up on my way, it's what you better do. My tactics is unsportsmanlike conduct, you better ask it. Don't get no better than this. You catch my drip, you get stripped by ball handlers, ruled by swag hammer. Danger, you dealing with official hoop bangers with hang time like a coat hanger. Jump with thunderous 360 degree tight dunks. What up, Dr. Monster Funk?
Lightning strikes, the court lights get dim. Supreme competition is about to begin. Above the rim, finessing it, moves is animated. Once I get the ball in, I can't be deflated. A rugged paw, my monsters is getting money. With clicks, get the bugging. I'm snatching up their bunnies. Every step I take shakes the ground. I make you break your ankle, son, shake you down. This is my planet, about business. The best that ever done it. Can I get a witness? A cumulus cloud brings darkness up above. You in it for the money or in it for the love, MJ? 23 ways to make a pay. Lounging in the mothership back around my way. A 28 light years old. If the ref get political, dribble like Bob Dole. Am I getting lyrical? Daddy, I think so. Monster, drop a flavor fluid, no 20 flow.
Welcome to another installment of the Rocket Sports Breakdown, our third to be exact. Happy to be here with you as usual, Rocket, on air, live, and in person. Well, as you know, we dedicate the show to sports and sports only, and tonight's main event topic will be what sport did you see yourself playing? Now, basically, that includes just about anything. So what was it that you dreamed of playing when you was a kid? What is it that you wish you could still play now? And hopefully it's not too late for you. What sport could you see yourself playing in the future? So there's many different questions to that. So you have to think thoroughly and examine that question carefully and then pick out whichever sport it is. And it can be more than one. Who knows? I know I have a few myself. So it just depends on what is it that you enjoy playing, what is it that you would like to play, and what is it that you wish you could play now. We'll get to that later on in the show. And, of course, again, this is all sports, and it doesn't get any better than that. How many sports shows you know dedicate themselves to just sports and sports only? I try and prop myself differently and step outside the box a little bit because, let's be honest, some sports shows, they tend to go way off the subject, and it tends to be a misunderstanding, if you know what I mean. That's why I created this show, because I wanted to take the time to spend 2 hours on one topic. I think if most radio shows can do that with whatever type of topic it is that they're talking about, I figure I could do the same thing. So what's the issue? So anyway, we got that later on tonight, and, of course, you know, we got more sports, well, sports news, scores, and all that other good stuff. Now, earlier today, I found out on SportsCenter that, well, it happened again. Well, not necessarily again, but it happened again to baseball. Now, Athletics pitcher Bartolo Colon was suspended 50 games for the use of testosterone. And it's a bad time for the Oakland A's because they're in the midst of fighting for first place in their division or a possible wild card spot. So this news kind of comes as a major, major shakedown. Now, he was 10-9 as a starter this year, but he actually played pretty well. And it's unfortunate right now because the playoffs is right around the corner. They actually have, I would say, a month or so until the playoffs start. Now, considering what happened today and what's going to happen to this organization, losing a player possibly for the rest of the year, it sends a major shockwave to not only baseball but to sports fans, period. Bartolo Colon just seemed like a guy who always kept to himself. He seemed like a guy who didn't have a lot of off-field problems or no personal issues or whatever. It's unfortunate because I grew up watching him a little bit, and I always respected his play. Anytime, and I said this last week, anytime you use something like testosterone or any performance-enhancing drug whatsoever, you're cheating the game. And why? You mean to tell me you can't depend on your own source of talent, your own God-given abilities, that you got to try and one-up others and use something like a performance-enhancing drug, no matter what it is, just to better yourself and better your statistics, better your play, better your skill set? It's unfortunate because, again, the guy was just seemed like a very respectable guy. And anytime players come out and admit that they use these things or they get caught and they get busted, it takes my respect for them down to a whole new low. And sometimes I lose respect for them, period. And the fact that he was crazy enough to get caught, it just says a lot about him. And it's unfortunate because think about it. There are a lot of players over the years, mostly in baseball, that have used performance-enhancing drugs, but yet some have gotten caught. Some continue to probably still use it right now. And, again, we don't know unless they, I guess, maybe open up a full investigation. Now, here's what I was suggesting. I think every player should be tested right now, past and present. That type of testing should consist of body testing, maybe even a lie detector, whatever it takes to find out, because you don't want this dragging out any longer than it already has been over the years. So why not do that now and just open up a full investigation, find out who's taking what and why? It's as simple as that. That way you won't see this whole thing carry out. It won't damage players' reputations. In fact, maybe it could save some before it's too late. So why not just do something like that? I had proposed this years ago, and I remember I wrote like a short article about it, and I said maybe that's something that they should do. Maybe that's something that they should look into. Because, again, you don't want the situation dragging out any further than it needs to. And if you're Bud Selig, the commissioner in baseball, you need to do something about that. You know, save your sport, whatever it takes. Save your players. Save the game. You know, the fans, they love this sport. They pay good money to come and see these players play, not money to come and see players cheat the game. Because it's insulting and you basically spit in the face of these guys. And, again, you don't want this on your hands. You know, you don't want this, you know, lying right in front of you. So something should be done about that. And to be honest with you, it's only going to get worse before it gets better. Now, I hear that Roger Clemens is attempting to come back. Now, he's 50 years old. First and foremost, he's 50 years old. But one thing I noticed, in baseball, you can play until a certain age. If your body is in good condition and you're 50 years old and you're going to try it, then I say go for it. Knock yourself out. I just think that he's been away for a while, and I don't know if he still has it. I really don't know if he still has it. But we'll find out once he takes the mound, whenever that'll be, and we'll see what happens and what goes down. Now, Roger Clemens was a guy that was always in and out of the media. He's had quite a reputation throughout his life, throughout his career. People love him, people hate him, but yet he had been very successful in terms of pitching. He has been quite elusive. He has been quite aggressive on the mound. He's always had such a strong pitching arm. And he's a guy that people love to hate. People love to not respect. But yet, he's a guy that, in terms of his career, he has gotten the job done. So I really can't fully knock him. But again, you know, I want to know what the whole situation is and what he's going to do and how he's going to respond to all of this. That remains to be seen. Now, I recall, again, I want to bring back the whole Dwight Howard trade again. I want to take some time to kind of devote to that a little bit. I think it was a good move still, because anytime a player like that is on the trade now, you want to try and go for him and see what you can get. It's as simple as that. So, again, I'm happy with what the Lakers did. I think what they were able to do really, really speaks volumes about what they can bring to the table and how well they can better themselves. So, again, think about this. You have a chance to work out some kinks. You have a chance to do some things that will help better your team and get your team back up to full status. So why not? Why not do something like that? So I just wanted to throw that out there. I want to take some time real quick to send a few shout-outs. First of all, major big ups and shout-outs to my Love Has a Mind of Its Own film cast and crew. We started shooting this past week. We were downtown at the Riverwalk. Had a great time shooting. It was our opening shoot weekend. Had fun. I want to say congratulations to Edmund Allen Jones. I want to say congratulations to Angela Roberts Johnson, to Robert D. Thomas, to Deion Robinson, to myself, and to Andre, Mr. X Harris, to Jackie Morgan Lloyd, and to the love of my life, Noelle Fry, a.k.a. Lady Rocky, y'all. Thank you guys so much for your contributions this weekend. We had fun, and it was just amazing. Just amazing shoot, and we'll continue again this weekend. So continue to support the project, and if you have, please, thank you. Thank you, thank you. We actually have a few injury reports. Michael Vick, who injured a sore thumb in the Monday night preseason game against New England. According to his head coach, Andy Reid, he's expected to be ready for the season opener, but his status remains uncertain whether or not he will play in this weekend's preseason game. Panthers wide receiver Steve Smith, he's sidelined with a foot infection. Now, the guy's already up there towards the end of his career, so anytime something like this comes about, it kind of makes the fan base cringe a little bit. But he is expected to possibly be ready for the season opener, but his status, too, remains uncertain. Titans released veteran defensive tackle Sean Smith, unfortunately. Adrian Peterson, basically, their no preseason plan is okay. So basically, they're going to keep him out of the preseason. That way, he'll be ready in time for the regular season. And we'll see what happens because they're going to need him. And if you're a part of the Vikings organization and fan base, you're really going to need him because he's basically your only offensive option. They don't have Sidney Rice anymore. They don't have Vasante Shenko anymore. Percy Harvin still hasn't elevated himself into one of the elite players. He should have, but he hasn't yet. So no matter what happens with the developmental plan of Christian Ponder, if Percy Harvin doesn't work on getting it in gear and living up to better expectations, it's not going to work out for Minnesota's offense. And they're playing in a division where you're going to have three teams whose offenses are going to be very, very good. Green Bay is going to be at the top. Detroit's going to be in the top five. Chicago will be in the top 10. So it just depends on how well Minnesota plays. And they got their work cut out for them. So we'll see what they do this year. I want to say good luck to their organization because they're definitely going to need it. Speaking of football running backs, Jaguars running back Maurice Jones-Drew, who's always been known as a classy guy, who's always been a very respectable guy, basically he told us, the organization that he is open to a trade. Apparently contract talks have not been working out. The two sides have not agreed to an extension. And, again, Jones-Drew was the leading rusher last year, so I feel like he deserves his contract extension. I feel like he deserves exactly what he, the bigger payroll. Now, if you're the Jaguars organization and if you're the owner, you're basically telling him that you're not going to, offer him any more than what you're offering him. Yeah, that's a slap on the face. Now, anytime you lead the league in something, rushing yards, passing yards, receiving yards, touchdowns, you deserve so much more credibility than what you get. I've never been a big fan of the whole extra money thing, but I do feel like players deserve extra payroll based off their previous regular season contributions from a statistical performance. So as far as I'm concerned, I think that Maurice Jones-Drew does deserve a contract extension. I think he should get that contract extension. And if you're the Jaguars, you got to pay him that money because he's really all you got on that offense. And he needs – if you're the second-year quarterback, Blaine Gabbert, you need him more than ever. Right now, because again, you don't have a lot of wide receivers on your roster right now. You got Justin Blackmon, you got the contract situation with him worked out, but you're going to need much more than that. You need a running back to complement you. Sometimes a quarterback, especially a rookie quarterback or even a young quarterback's best friend, is a young, explosive workhorse tailback who's capable of catching, receiving, blocking, doing whatever it takes to help a quarterback by taking pressure off of him in the offense. So if you're the Jaguars organization, you got to find a way to work this whole thing out because, again, you never know what's going to come out of this whole situation, and you really never know what's going to come out of, well, let's say, who else is available out there? Who else can we bring in to help out? Just those particular factors that you never know to come out and to work out the kinks and things like that. So think about this. You're the Jaguars organization. You have a chance to challenge the Texans, for division supremacy, and you're not going to be able to do that without Jones-Drew in the lineup. So take it for what it's worth and get the guy re-signed, get him in camp, and, get this whole thing worked out. Usually when it comes to contracts, no matter who the player is, offense or defense, usually the whole thing really gets worked out up until the first week of the season. Now, keep in mind, 1989, when the Lions drafted Barry Sanders, he held out his rookie year in camp, got signed that first week before the regular season opener, and look how great he turned out. But then again, Jones-Drew is not a rookie, but the point I'm trying to make is it has happened with players who held out the entire training camp, the entire preseason, and came to the team the week leading up to the first regular season game, and they were able to help their team. And Jones-Drew is very capable of doing so. So if you're the Jaguars organization, please get the guy signed as soon as possible because you're going to need him if you're going to try to compete with the likes of Houston and Tennessee in that division. Now, speaking of the AFC South, I've been really, really impressed with Andrew Luck's play. I knew that he was going to come out right out of the gate and be very, very good. I knew that he was going to step into a zone. He was going to have some challenges lying right before him, but I've been very, very impressed with his play so far in this preseason. He's going to automatically be the starter. There's no denying that. What I would try to do for him is get the running backs involved more often so you don't have to put pressure on a kid to have to throw 30 to 35 times a game. Because you don't want a young quarterback to do that. You want to have a more balanced attack. Now, I will say this is a pass-happy league, and it's been more of that for over the past 5 or 6 years, but seriously, anytime you have a rookie quarterback, and again, this goes back to what I was saying about Blaine Gabbert last year when he was the rookie quarterback, and he had Jones through to lean on in the running game, the receiving game, and pass protection. Anytime you're a rookie quarterback, you want to do the best you can to help a guy out. And the best thing that you can do for a rookie passer is get the running backs involved in more of on the offense. Pass protection is one thing, but unless you have a running back who can catch passes out of the backfield, can catch screens, can open holes, can do his thing in the running game, it just helps out a passer. It really does. But I will say again, I've been very impressed with Luck's play, and who knows what he's going to do this year. Colts might surprise some teams. You never know. They might surprise the Texans once. Who knows? But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. And I want people to realize that he is the future of this organization. There's no denying that. So, again, I want to say to the Indianapolis Colts fan base and to their organization, I'm going to be paying very close attention to your team this year because I want to see what you're going to do. Rookie quarterbacks are always being watched, always being looked at by fans, by media, by paparazzi, anybody and everybody. So we will see what this team does this year and what they're going to do to work out the kinks and do what they have to do to eventually be an elite team and challenge future teams for division supremacy. But we'll see what they do this year. It's going to be an interesting season. Speaking of other rookie quarterbacks, Ryan Tannehill has been officially named the Dolphins starting quarterback, and I think it was the right move. And I'm not trying to knock David Garrard whatsoever, but the guy's hurt right now. So you really have no choice but to name your rookie your starting quarterback. And he's played pretty well. I watched the preseason game against Carolina that last weekend, and I was really, really impressed. I like what the kid could do. He's tall. He's got good accuracy. He looks like he has a strong arm. He looks like he could throw the ball. He's got good pocket awareness. All the things that you ask for in a quarterback, he possesses those things. He possesses those attributes. So why not start him? I think it's the right move. I really do. And, again, I'm not trying to knock David Garrard whatsoever, but I think that most of the time when you have a young team and you're trying to rebuild and start over or whatever, sometimes the best way to do that is to throw the quarterback in there, but yet give him a chance to work with the first-team offense and develop the relationships and the chemistry. Don't just throw the guy in there. Make sure he's ready to go before you do such thing. I can recall a time where a lot of the teams for many years drafted their quarterbacks first overall and they threw them out there and tested them out. Carolina did it last year with Cam Newton. Detroit did it with Matthew Stafford back in 2009, although they had Dante Culpepper on the contract for one more year. But they threw him out there. And Matt Ryan from Atlanta, they threw him out there first and foremost. Cleveland, when they came back to the NFL in 1999, they drafted Tim Couch number one overall. There are so many different situations when it comes to drafting a quarterback first pick overall. Going to have a lot of challenges. Going to have a lot of issues. Look at what happened to David Carr. David Carr, his rookie year, led the league in sacks. Bad offensive line protection. And that doesn't help a passer. That can destroy an ego. That can destroy his confidence. And that really can destroy his play. So it's just unfortunate that it happened to him. But that's the way the ball rolls sometimes. You have to be ready for anything and everything if you're going to be a good passer in this league. I've seen this happen so many times to players who look like they were ready to come out in the open, who look like that they were ready to get out there and do what they needed to do, and they failed. And you can't have that on your team. You got to have a player's confidence up and coming and do those necessary things that needs to be done. Speaking of football, we got some preseason games this weekend. Tomorrow we got Green Bay and Cincinnati. We got Jacksonville and Baltimore, Arizona and Tennessee. That game will be on ESPN, so you can see that. Speaking of Tennessee, they named Jake Locker their official starting quarterback, which is the right move. Again, bringing in a young quarterback. He was their rookie a year ago. Matt Hasselbeck, he's getting up there in age, so he's already at the end of his career. Sometimes you got to see what you got for the future, and you got to throw the youngsters in there. I think Hasselbeck did a decent job last year. Tennessee finished 9-7. Maybe they would have won some more games if Luck's play improved. Particularly the game against the Saints, where at the end he had a chance to throw what could have been and should have been a game-winning touchdown, and yet it didn't happen. He failed miserably on that final play. So he'll have this chance to really, really redeem himself and get better. So we'll see what he can do. He's shown he's capable of doing that in the preseason. He's shown that he can lead a team. He's shown that he has good awareness in the pocket. So we'll see what he has this year. So I'm anxious to see what he can do. I'm anxious to see what a lot of these young quarterbacks can do. And I'm anxious to see other quarterbacks like a Phillip Rivers bounce back. So we will see what happens. And, again, it's going to be a great upcoming season, so I'm looking forward to it. Friday's preseason games, we got Atlanta at Miami. We got Philadelphia and Cleveland, New England and Tampa Bay, San Diego and Minnesota, Chicago and the Giants. That game will be on CBS, so you'll be able to see that. Seattle and Kansas City. This Saturday, we got Indianapolis and Washington. We also have, what else do we have? See who else is playing. Pittsburgh and Buffalo, Detroit and Oakland, Houston and New Orleans. That game will be on CBS, St. Louis and Dallas. And this Sunday, we got San Francisco and Denver, which will be on Fox at 4 p.m., and Carolina and the Jets. That game will be on NBC. Speaking of the Jets, it continues to be a high-profile, media-infested training camp. They've been following these guys around like they're stalkers. Tim Tebow has developed quite an interesting fan base. And good for him. Good for him. But developing a fan base is one thing. Getting out there and playing is one thing. It's another. But I got nothing but respect for him from a religious standpoint. I respect who he is and what he who he is as an individual. But now he's got to carry that over. You know, he's got to carry that over to his play. So it's up to him now when he gets his chance to be out there in the football field. Mark Sanchez has to have his best season ever as a pro. This has got to be the year for him. Now, when Matthew Stafford and Mark Sanchez were both coming in the NFL draft in 2009, Sanchez and Stafford got to start for their teams right away. Stafford, he got hurt, got banged up a lot his first 2 years. But Sanchez had more success from a winning standpoint because his first 2 years, he went all the way to deep into the playoffs. And a lot of people say, well, he looks like he's going to be a decent passer. He looks like he's going to have more success. But let's be honest, Sanchez played on a better team. He had a better defense. He had a better running game. He had better offense. He had a better offensive line in terms of protection. So you got to take that for what it's worth. Also, we saw what Stafford looked like in his first full season as a passer. He threw for over 5,000 yards. Sanchez has had 3 full seasons starting. He hasn't even come close to eclipsing that. So this has to be the year that he steps up and rises to the occasion. And with Tebow on your team, that should provide you all the motivation you need because they're going to be cheering for him. They're not going to be cheering for you at all. So this is your year. This has to be the year that you step up and do what you need to do. It's as simple as that. Allow the whole Tebow factor to motivate you, and, you know, you get out there and you take care of business. And I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be watching a lot of these quarterback controversies from the start of the preseason all the way up until, you know, the regular season. We're going to see what happens. And There still seems to be a quarterback controversy in Arizona. There still seems to be a quarterback controversy in, I would say, possibly Washington, because a lot of people are starting to notice Kirk Cousins' play. Trust me, I would notice. I've watched him play at Michigan State. He's been pretty good. But let's kind of, you know, pump the brakes a little bit. To me, RG3 is going to be the starter, but Kirk Cousins has shown that he can be quite a sufficient passer. So that's going to be an interesting one to see. All of this talk about expectations for players and what they're going to do as far as their careers are concerned and how well they're going to carry themselves over, it's just, it's interesting to see what they're going to do, and it's interesting to see who's going to be the starter, who's going to be the backup. It's as simple as that. So I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen, and I'm anxious to see what these guys are going to do. So good luck to all your teams this year. And again, you're certainly going to need it all the way. And like I said, I'll be watching. Football season's right around the corner. We got 2 more weeks left of the preseason, so this should be interesting. This should be fun. This should be very, very fun. I'm going to step outside the box a little bit and talk about my local hometown team, the Detroit Pistons, real quickly. I was happy with their pick with Andre Drummond when they took him. I'm glad that he slid down a little bit. I thought for sure he'd be a top 5 pick because of his size and his athleticism, but I'm so glad we got him. Also, the trade for Corey Maggette from the Charlotte Bobcats resulting in Ben Gordon being let go, I thought was a good move because it saves the team cap space. Ben Gordon was the highest paid player on the team, $25.6 million, which he has left on his 2-year contract. So now the Bobcats are going to have to deal with that. But also bringing in Corey Maggette adds a little more depth to the small four position because all they got right now is Tayshaun Prince, Kyle Singler. I've watched him play in the Summer D League. He's played exceptionally well. To me right now, Austin Day just looks like a total bust. And it's a shame because he's got good size. The guy is about 6'10", about 6'10 and a half. He can stretch out on offense and defense. He can block shots. He can shoot the three. He's just been quite a disappointing player so far, especially in the regular season. Now over in the Summer D League, for whatever reason, he's played so much different. He's played so much better. But I can't explain why he's been struggling. I just don't understand what the situation is. I just think that it's quite an issue that he needs to work out. He needs to develop his confidence. And so far he doesn't seem to have that. So it's unfortunate. But what can you do? What can you do in situations like that? There's really no explanation for that, but he's got to get it in gear. And I'll be interested to see what this team can do. I'll be watching. Now, the NBA, a lot of people are going to talk about, you know, the whole USA team and what that's going to do for some of their players for their respective teams. Some of the moves that are being made, players coming back from injuries, players getting traded, players signing with, contracts with other teams as free agents. Again, to me, the team to watch next year is the Los Angeles Lakers, you know, for obvious reasons. To me, another team to be watching is the Boston Celtics. The New York Knicks, that's another team that's going to be on the radar. Another team that I'm really, really looking forward to watching just for the simple fact that they spent so much time trying to get this guy, the Houston Rockets, in terms of getting Jeremy Lin back on the team. A lot of the point guards have switched teams so far this offseason, but I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do. They were in the Dwight Howard sweepstakes. They were basically trying to get the guy and bring him over. That's what the whole situation was. It didn't work. So where do you go from here if you're the Rockets organization? What do you do? And, you know, from one Rocket to a bunch of others, I hope y'all work this out. I hope y'all work things out. And I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen. I'm looking forward to seeing what your team is going to do. And good luck to all your teams this upcoming season. In baseball right now, given the whole Bartolo Colon situation, it is just so unfortunate right now for the Oakland Athletics. They played great baseball this year. They played great team ball. And for a bombshell like this to happen, it just hurts. It just hurts. But we'll see what they can do. I really wish they would have like a sixth team. You know, like what they do in football, at least in football. You play all these games, and a lot of these teams have winning records, and you can't even get in the postseason because of the whole format. I think it's stupid. Four-team format, 162 regular season games. So let's say you win 90 games and you don't make the playoffs. That's a bunch of bull, man. That's a bunch of bull. That really ticks me off how that whole format is and what that whole format looks like. I'm pissed. I'm pissed off, man. I'm really, really pissed off. That really irks me because, again, you play all these games to have a setback like that. It's just a bunch of bull, man. It's just a bunch of bull. I'm disappointed with the way that the whole format is being, but I think they should have a 16 format. At the top two seeds, give them a bye week. Let the first four teams duke it out in the wild card round like they should. And that's what I think they should do. But, you know, it's unfortunate that it is that way, but I've always had an issue with the format. I've always had an issue with the All-Star game. Basically, whichever team wins, that team gets home field advantage. Why not let it the team with the better record? Why can't it be that simple? You take the whole fun and the whole entertainment aspect out of the All-Star competition. Because to me, that's what the All-Star competition should be about. Fun. One game out of the whole year, fun. A bunch of players from different teams get together, have fun for the weekend, you know, put up some big numbers and stats, you know. You take the fun out of that. I mean, it makes it more competitive, but you take the fun out of the game because the players have to try to win, and yet it should be a relaxing game where it's just fun. It's like the NBA All-Star game. You know, it's fun and entertaining. The NFL Pro Bowl, fun and entertaining. The NHL All-Star game, fun and entertaining. Man, that whole thing really, really makes me ticked off. Yeah, I got a whole problem with the whole baseball thing. Sue me, okay? I'm just telling it like it is. But anyway, I want to shift over to NASCAR. Apparently, NASCAR has fined Paul Menard's crew chief $100,000 for illegal modifications found on his Chevrolet last week in Michigan. Wow. So basically, Slugger Labby was also suspended to October in penalties, NASCAR announced Wednesday. So basically, Menard's car was taken back to NASCAR's Research and Development Center after Sunday's race. NASCAR said the frame rails had been intentionally modified in an effort to deceive inspectors. So they were each docked. So Menard and car owner Richard Childress were each docked 25 points. Car chief Craig Smokestad and crew member Grant Hutchins were both also suspended until October 3rd. So Labby, Smokestad, and Hutchins are all placed on probation through the end of the year. Whew, wow. $100,000. Good Lord. That's a lot of damn money, dude. That's a lot of damn money. Are you kidding me? Good freaking Lord. Good Lord, man. Good Lord. Oh, my God. That's a lot of damn money. Lord, have mercy. Anytime I see players, athletes get fined for that much money, dude, good Lord. Good Lord. Seriously, man. That's a lot of damn money to a guy like me. And when you lose that much, ooh. That's got to strike like a nerve within your system. It beats you up. It beats you the hell up, man. Damn. That's like me working at Target and I get fined like $200. That's damn near a paycheck for me. You know what I'm saying? Wow. Unbelievable, dude. Unbelievable, man. Wow. Wow. I mean, seriously, that's just Lord have mercy. $100 million. And apparently there's been a lot of drama going on in the whole world of NASCAR driving. Jeff Gordon is having some problems with Dale Earnhardt Jr. Apparently there's been some issues with Danica Patrick still. I mean, wow, I never thought that NASCAR could be so full of drama, seriously. But there is. There's more to it than what people realize. And from an athletic standpoint, you just got to realize that it's unfortunate that that's been the way it's been. And it's like a soap opera. It's like an episode of Days of Our Lives or Young and the Restless, you know. I see it all the time. They're always showing clips of drama. A lot of these guys cussing out reporters. It's pure entertainment for me. I'm starting to get more into NASCAR now. Seriously, I think that that's very, very fun. I think that's wonderful. Wow. Drama-esque. I mean, seriously, man, drama-esque. I'm just astounded at what's been going on in the world of NASCAR. But anytime you lose a lot of money like that, yeah, that beats you up. That beats you up, seriously. Wow. So I've been watching SportsCenter today. I'm seeing clips of the University of Ohio State with their new coach, Urban Meyer, getting ready for this upcoming season. As a Michigan State guy, because I watch both teams, I hope they lose this year. I do. I've never been an Ohio State guy. I've never picked them to win anything. I've never hated a team more than Ohio State. I will watch Notre Dame more than Ohio State. At least I can appreciate Notre Dame and can respect their organization more than I can respect the University of Ohio State. I never liked their team. I never liked their players. I never liked their coaches. I've always hated Jim Tressel. Still do to this day. Urban Meyer, I liked him at Florida, but I don't like him anymore. Just for the simple fact he's part of Ohio State now. But I will say good luck to your team this upcoming season because you're going to need it. You're going to need it, and you're going to need it big time. To the NHL, wow, some of these players are getting big-time contracts and whatever, and apparently one young man, he is about to get a ton of money, which I think, well, good for him, you know, cool, you know, that's pretty decent, that's pretty cool, that's pretty nice. His name is Taylor Hall, who is in for the long haul, literally, for the Edmonton Oilers. The team signed him to a $42 million 7-year contract extension today, and the Calgary native said he had no hesitation about the length of the deal. Yeah, of course you wouldn't have no hesitation. It's $42 million. Who would hesitate to sign a $42 million contract? I wouldn't. I sure as hell wouldn't, even if it is for a team in Canada. I would sign for, man, let me tell you, if it were me being offered that much money to go and play for any team, let's say in Canada or New Mexico or Brazil, I will go to Brazil. I will quit my job, my day-to-day job, and I will go to Brazil. You're damn right I would. I sure as hell would. $42 million, I could take care of my student loans and my bills in 1 year. That's a lot of damn money. Oh, my goodness. That's a lot of money, dude. That is a lot of money. But good for him. He's 20 years old. Wow, they say the best time to get the money is when you're young. Yeah. Yeah, you got that right. No joke at all. But all seriousness, congratulations to Taylor Hall for getting his contract. He seems like a pretty solid player. He was the first overall pick in the 2010 draft. He's been a key fixture on the team's youthful top line. So basically they got a lot of young players on the team, and he is no exception. So that being said, the deal makes him the highest paid player on the team and average salary at $6 million per year. So their second highest contract is their center, Sean Horkoff, who has a $33 million contract that he signed 4 years ago. He'll make $6 million next season, but his average is a lower cap hit at $5.5 million. So good for them. good for them. It seems like it's a good deal. I want to go back to the NFL real quickly. Okay. Apparently, Roger Goodell can go to any barbecue joint he wants, except Jonathan Vilma's barbecue joint in New Orleans. Apparently, there was a sign that says, and now you notice that there's a lot of these different types of pictures and images. I see them on Facebook all the time where it has, like, captions at the bottom. A lot of stuff is serious and a lot of stuff is comedy. Apparently, the sign for him says, do not feed this guy. So basically, he's unwelcome at that joint. And I thought that was pretty funny. So he can go to any barbecue place he wants except that one. And it basically says, do not serve this man. And I thought the whole situation couldn't get any more funny from this standpoint. And it, this kind of thing adds some more fuel to the fire. It really does. Not to mention Jonathan Vilma suing Roger Goodell for defamation for Goodell's public statements regarding the reasoning behind the suspensions of Vilma and several current and former members of the Saints organization, players and coaching staff, front office. The name of the place is called Brother Jimmy's Barbecue in Miami, which is co-owned by Vilma, with Denver Broncos linebacker DJ Williams and Carolina linebacker John Beeson on board as well. Wow, three linebackers co-owning a barbecue joint. And apparently a lot of linebackers have had some issues with Roger Goodell. Terrell Suggs, James Harrison. It's just like a lot of these linebackers are dead against him. Could you imagine if Roger Goodell was playing on an offensive position right now, he was a quarterback, a running back, a wide receiver, or a tight end, he catches a pass up the middle and gets hit by a linebacker. Could you imagine that happening? If you're a linebacker, you wish that a guy like him was playing football and he was younger where he could play and you could get a chance to hit him and really take your frustrations out on the guy. that's kind of funny. That's funny. That would be really, really funny. But, yeah, it looks like Roger Goodell is not welcome at all in the city of New Orleans, maybe or even the state of Louisiana in its entirety. Wow. I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, the time is after 7:45. We're taking calls 347-327-9586. Our main event topic is, what sport is it that you could see yourself playing, past, present, or future? What was it that you grew up as a kid wanting to play? What do you want to play now? And as your future continues, what sport would you like to play years from now? So we're going to be taking calls. And we're going to have some fun with this topic. That's basically what the Rocket Sports Breakdown is all about. Having fun topics and talking about things like this. So, again, I'm taking calls up until 9 p.m. tonight. Next topic will be starting within another 10 to 15 minutes. We're going to have some fun with it, some straight-up fun. And, again, that's what we do. That's what we do here at the Rocket Sports Breakdown. So I hope you're having fun. I am. This is our third installment. I'm happy to finally have my own show. I felt like it was time for me to move on and do my own thing a little bit. So why not? Why not? Again, I'm happy with everything that's been going on. And again, to all the co-hosts of different shows here on Blog Talk Radio, I want to say congratulations to you. Keep doing what you do. Keep doing what you do well. And do your thing. Do your thing. And if you always wanted to have your own show, do it. Do it. Don't hesitate. You know, if you got the time, if you got a little bit of the cash, go for it. Go for it. Go for it. I think that it was about time that I wanted to do something where I can, you know, talk about a show, do a show that I know I can relate to, a lot of people I know can relate to, and why not have a sports show? Why not? So that was my whole intent on doing the show from the get-go, and I felt like this was it. This is the perfect time to do such thing. So basically, with all what's going on out there, I say anytime you are having a problem with someone in sports, try and work things out. Seriously, try to work things out and do what you can because, again, you never know what's going to happen as far as, you know, retaliation, players suing players, players having issues with coaches and stuff like that. Again, you never know what's going to happen. Basically, never what's going to happen. And, yeah, I just think that you need to be careful doing what you do. And, you know, for this whole barbecue thing with Roger Goodell, be careful. Be careful. I've never been a big fan of Chris Carter, but I completely agree with what he's saying earlier today on ESPN. Be careful when you're doing things like this. Just be careful. I mean, we are free to speak out and do what you can. Just be careful. That's all I'm saying. Be careful. But do what you do. Do what you do. And just take it easy. Just take it easy. Again. Well, basically in UFC right now, we got a fight with basically the main event. The card has been released. Basically, Strikeforce today confirmed up to the full Showtime main card that Gilbert Melendez and Pat Healy look like the fight is going to be on. It's stated for September 29th in Sacramento, California. So the Strikeforce lightweight champion, Gilbert Melendez, he's putting his belt on the line against the top contender, Pat Healy. It's going to be an interesting fight. It's going to be an interesting fight. It's going to be a lot of fights coming up on UFC. Undefeated light heavyweight prospect, Guto Inocente, looks to keep his perfect record intact as he goes up against the always dangerous Ian Vellante. Josh Thompson, who just came off a split decision loss to Melendez recently, his next fight will be up against another impressive lightweight prospect, Carlos Fodor. Mike Kyle, he's back after a submission loss to Rafael Cavalcante. It basically turned into a no contest after Cavalcante tested positive for a banned substance. Again, these athletes and these drugs is ridiculous. But anyway, Kyle's getting ready to go up against Alistair Overeem, who's basically a newcomer, riding a 5-fight winning streak and has more than 30 bouts to his credit. Isaac Valley Flag is carrying an 11-fight unbeaten streak with him into the cage to face a Brazilian Adriano Martins, who makes his promotional debut on the strength of a 23-6 professional record. So basically, Melendez versus Healy is going to be the top bout, taking place on 10 p.m. Eastern on September 29th. So be on the lookout for that fight. I think I'm going to check that out. That looks like that's going to be an interesting fight. There's been quite a lot of hype between the two of them. And, yeah, that should be a very interesting contest, a very interesting contest. Apparently, there's been some other issues as far as a few recruit situations going on. Now, here's what's happening. Basically, this is going on in the NCAA basketball. All right, Tony Farmer, who is an 18-year-old senior at Garfield Heights High School, received a 3-year prison sentence on Tuesday as a result of pleading guilty to kidnapping, assault charges, and other few crimes that are unrelated. The guy is 6'7". He was hoping to get probation from his teachers, coaches, and family members. They all tested on his behalf. When he learned that he was going to be going to prison as the judge read his sentence, he basically crumpled into the arms of a sheriff's deputy and collapsed to the ground in anguish. Well, that's what you get. You brought this on yourself. You brought this on yourself. So, you know, you do the crime, you got to do the damn time. It's as simple as that. And it's a shame to see these youngsters do things like this, because he looked like he had a bright future ahead of him. He looked like he was going to be a top prospect who apparently drew interest from the likes of universities such as Michigan State, Dayton, Xavier, and even Ohio State. Now it doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon, and it may never happen even after he gets out of prison. 18 years old, folks. 18. Let me tell y'all something. Parents, take the time to watch your kids. if you got kids who are athletes, kids who have potential to do stuff like getting into sports, stay on them. Keep them from doing stupid stuff. Keep them from doing stupid stuff. It's as simple as that. And, again, to see things like this happen to youngsters, I hate to see things happen to guys who have potential, who look like they can go all the way and to perfect their careers and do things like that. I just think that it's unbelievable. I hate to see it happen to a bunch of folks. I'm just astounded. I'm just astounded. Well, we're going to take a quick break right now. Coming up, we got the main event topic, and we're going to talk about what sport is it that you can see yourself playing. And again, that's past, present, and even future. We're going to take about five. We'll be right back, and then we're going to kick off the main event topic in the high gear, so stick around. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown in full effect. Rocket Nation, get ready for a power trip.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. It's 8 o'clock, and you know what that means. Time to kick off the second part of the show in the high gear, and this is what we do best. Now, the main event topic is called, what sport could you see yourself playing? Think back to when you was a kid growing up, and you always dreamed of being an athlete. You grew up idolizing so many great players from past generations, from present generations, and you wanted to be like them. And you did whatever it took to work your ass off to get to a certain level in which you was able to develop your talents. And you used that as pure motivation because you wanted to be like the guy that you grew up watching. And, of course, you had more than one inspiration. You can never have enough sources in terms of growing up idolizing guys and wanting to be like them and wanting to play like them and be in the same sport that they're doing. Even then, as you got older, you might have played on a few teams at your schools. You might have played on a few teams in college. You worked your way up, and next thing you know, you got a chance to become a star. I see a lot of these athletes today, and I think about basically what they did to work their tails off to get to a certain level. So I just remember growing up and watching so many athletes, and I wanted to be like them. I couldn't really tell you what I could do to be like them. I could just say that I did what I could to play and try and make teams and fit in or whatever. I did what I could. But you had a chance to really, really work the game. I see guys like Calvin Johnson and guys like Chris Paul. Don't you think they had guys they grew up idolizing? Of course they did. Tom Brady, he grew up idolizing Joe Montana. And much like him, he has just about as many Super Bowl rings. Well, he's got three. Montana has four. But Brady still has a chance to get his fourth one. He almost got it a year ago, but he'll get his opportunity. But the point is, he grew up idolizing Joe Montana, and much like him, he was a late draft pick. Seventh round, to be exact, back in 2000. So take that for what it's worth. So we're going to kick this thing off to high gear. But before we do that, we have a caller, and I'm pretty sure I think I know who this is. So caller, feel free to speak your mind. And remember, our main event topic is what sport could you see yourself playing. So caller, go for it.
Yo, yo, what's the word? What's the word?
What's the deal with you?
Chilling, chilling, chilling. Well, the main sport I grew up seeing myself playing is football. Yeah, because basically, that's the only sport I'm really good at. You know what I'm saying? I think I'm the only brother in the world that can't play basketball worth a fuck.
Well, a sport is a sport, you know? And
yeah.
A lot of guys grew up wanting to play football, me being one. My dream as a kid was to play wide receiver. I used to run a little bit of track in middle school, and I used to play pickup games with a bunch of friends where we just got together. We wore regular street clothes. Sometimes we wore the same stuff we wore to school. A lot of us had on jeans and shoes, and we would take, like, the worst clothes we had, put them on, go to, like, a local field in our neighborhood or whatever, a backyard,
right.
And we just
right.
toss a football around. We didn't have no helmets. We didn't have no pads, no cleats, no source of protection whatsoever but us. That was it.
Right.
If you got hit, it hurt. It hurt. So we always made sure we had Band-Aids and peroxide on standby because you never know what was going to happen.
Right.
But I always wanted to play wide receiver because I enjoyed catching the ball. I used to watch wide receivers like Lynn Swann and Jerry Rice and Herman Moore make so many great acrobatic catches. I'm thinking, man, I would love to do stuff like that. That would be just incredible, just to be like featured on a highlight reel where you get to make a ton of catches and catch the ball and score a touchdown. I just think that's incredible. I enjoyed the position. I still enjoy it to this day. And I just think that it's incredible how these talents come out of nowhere and just make so many great catches, even if these talents were only around for a short while. But the point is, some of them, they could catch the football when they were supposed to. And actually think that was incredible. So that was me playing, wanting to play football. I also wanted to play cornerback. I wanted to play safety in terms of defense. To be honest with you, I always wanted to be a return man.
Right.
I never really minded the whole special teams effect. A return man, kick returning, punt returning. I like doing that because it's an exciting position to play, especially when you score or you get a big return where you set up great field position for your offense to take the field and put up some points.
Right.
So that was me. That was me. So that was just one of them. I had a few others, but football is a dream sport for many of us. Football is a dream sport where...
Football, that's my shit. Especially playing running back. You know, especially, I don't know if you could tell now, but when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, I was a little guy, you know, so I had the size, I had the speed. And I loved it. I used to love to be able to put the juke on catch, you know, be out there, you know, get the ball hot. Barry, you know how you do. You know how we do. You get the ball, you do a hell of a play, and then you call out your favorite player's name.
Yep. And then you get to do a crazy end zone celebration or you just spike the ball in excitement.
Yeah,
I can tell that you look like you got a little bit of a Maurice Jones-Drew in you, older, but because in terms of height. But there's a lot of running backs who came out. You know, your size or shorter. Barry Sanders, for one, he was 5'8", but he was strong. You know, he weighed 203 pounds.
Yeah,
well done. He was quick, really quick. He was probably the fastest little guy to ever play. You know, both of those guys are really, really quick. Billy White Shoes Johnson, he was a small dude, but he was a guy who I really grew up idolizing, you know, because he was a great return man, and he was one of the first to do crazy end zone celebrations where he used to do the funky chicken and the splits, and then he would spike the ball. I watched that, and I enjoyed that from an entertainment perspective, and he added a lot of spice to the whole entertainment aspect of the game. I used to enjoy watching guys like that.
Speaking of entertainment, remember the Icky Shuffle?
Don't remind me. Between that and the Dirty Bird, do not remind me. And both of those guys were running backs. Both of them. And those celebrations didn't last longer than maybe 1 to 2 years.
Right.
It's unfortunate because Jamal Anderson, when he was with the Falcons in 98, he led the league in rushing. He had about 410 carries. That Dirty Bird was like the talk of the town that year. And it went all the way to the Super Bowl because of it. And then the next year he got hurt, twisted his ankle, and he was never the same guy again. But he was a big dude. He was a big dude. He was kind of small, about 5'10", 5'11", but he had a thick appearance. You know, he had thick thighs, thick legs, and he could run.
Right.
He was someone who I kind of like watching. I kind of like watching him, you know. One of the other sports I enjoyed playing as a kid was basketball, obviously. I used to love playing on the defensive side of the ball when I was younger.
Right.
I used to be able to block shots. I used to have like a whole Ben Wallace thing going on. When I was in high school, I used to rock the afro. I used to rock the cornrows. People used to call me a young, lighter-skinned version of him because I could rebound. I could block shots. But I could hit my free throws, though, and I could shoot from three-point range. So I used to play center. I used to play shooting guard. I used to play point. So basically, I played every basketball position, and I kind of learned how to do a lot of
I bet you had a cold-ass J, though.
Yeah, I did. Believe it or not, I used to shoot when I was young, so like really, really young. I used to shoot with two hands. But then as I got older, I started developing my game a little bit, and I started working on how to develop the one-hand jump shot. I used to go to basketball camps. I used to watch basketball tapes of how some of the guys used to shoot. I used to watch how Michael Jordan would shoot the basketball. So I would always concentrate on holding the ball with two hands, but basically releasing with one and putting some strength into it to release the ball as it goes towards the rim. So I used to concentrate on doing those things. But my biggest strength was blocking shots and getting rebounds. I love blocking shots because I love it when guys try to dunk on me. I would block their shot and they would feel stupid. They would just be like, how the hell is this motherfucker block my shot? You know, for real. Like, what the hell is he doing? Like, hey, you got stuff, man. You know, you got stuff. That's what you've been coming up in my lane. When I played video games, I used to I used to love blocking shots on video games because I always thought that blocking shots was so underrated. I think blocking shots is very, very entertaining. When somebody gets stuffed, especially when you go for a dunk attempt and you get swatted, it's one of
especially
the best
when they
in the world.
They talk smack behind it, then they get stuffed, they just get rejected, then it's what?
I remember it was a game between the Orlando Magic and the Detroit Pistons, and Tracy McGrady, I forgot who was guarding him, he faked out a defender, basically pump fake, where it looked like he was going to shoot long range.
Right.
The defender jumped over him, and then he went for a forward shot, and Ben just jumped out of nowhere and just swatted the mess out of it. I was like, wow, that was out cold. And you can find that clip on YouTube. You can just type in Ben Wallace blocks Tracy McGrady, one of the best blocks I've ever seen. Best of all time.
Yeah, I bet that shut him up the rest of the night, too.
It did, because that was in the playoff series. It was in the first round where – Orlando, they got off to a 3-1 start, and then Detroit came back and won the next three and beat Orlando in the first round, sent them packing.
And what season was this?
What's that?
What season was it?
That was in the 2003 first-round matchup. The 2003 NBA playoffs. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
back
for
when Ben was really on top of his game. And I remember that summer, it's between my junior and senior in high school. And this is at the time where I was really, really working on my basketball game. I tried out for the high school team. Now, I didn't make the team because basically in high school it's traditional. If you try out for a team your freshman year, you're going to stay on that team until your senior year. So they pick the same guys year after year after year. It's kind of traditional. So basically the only way you make the team is if somebody hurts, somebody gets hurt, somebody transfers to another team, or somebody just doesn't want to play on the team anymore. That increases your chances. So I used to play in basketball camps. I used to go to the tryouts. I used to take part in drill exercises. I used to actually go to the team practices, sit there, watch them, observe, you know, study, and say, you know what, maybe I'll try out for it one day. But as a kid, my asthma got bad, so that kind of kept me from really, really playing. Plus, I was never really in that much great shape to play because of that whole factor. But
yeah, that's
dream.
What kept me off the football team in high school.
And believe it or not, I always wanted to play hockey. We used to play street hockey growing up as kids. We used to play where instead of using hockey sticks, we would use push brooms to play. And we would be in the street. We'd be in the middle of the street in Detroit. And, you know, whenever a car would come by, we'd have to stop the game. Stop the game, get the puck, get on the side of the grass. Let the car go by, and as soon as they go by, we get right back out there and pick up where we left off. And then the goalie would have a shovel. So he would be there. He would be the one that would be padded up. Everybody else had on either roller skates or rollerblades. He would be the guy that would be just standing there. He didn't have to have shoes because he was just in one spot. So he would have, like, you know, he would have pads on, extra clothes on, and he would just be standing there with his shovel. And if somebody tried to take a shot, he could use that shovel for protection. And that was pretty much his self-defense. So it was pretty fun the way we came up with the whole creativity factor back then.
Yeah. See, that reminds me of how we used to play stickball in the middle of the street.
Yeah, that was another sport we used to play. That was another
stickball,
sport.
Stickball, that was my shit, with the broomstick and the tennis ball.
Yep.
And whatever litter, it'd be the bases.
Yep. Yeah, that was
okay. That chip bag is first base. That beer bottle will be home.
right. Pick 'em up, mess 'em up was another game for me. That was the game.
Oh,
that
was my shit.
We used to play during lunchtime, and we used to have like our school uniforms because at the time we had to wear uniforms in school. So I had on my navy blue pants, my white shirt. I would sometimes have, like, on a blue sweater over it. And a lot of us would be out there wearing stuff like that, and we would throw the ball up. Whoever got the ball first got popped. It was as simple as that.
Attack,
and we would go back in
football.
And when recess was over, we'd go back in school, and the teachers and principals would be looking at like, what were y'all doing? Like, we was playing football. They're like, oh, my goodness. You wouldn't believe how many clothes I messed up playing that game. It was just crazy. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I know your mom's yelled at you a lot.
Oh, yeah. Actually, my mom was like, boy, I told you about playing football in those clothes. That's what you come home to do. I'm like, Mom, we get to play during lunchtime. And the surface that I played in, because I went to Bayou Elementary School, there was no grass. There was nothing but dirt, rocks, sand. We had like a tree towards one side of the playground. You had guys, you had the boys on one side and you had the girls on the other. So you had the cones separated. So we couldn't go past those cones. So we could only play in certain tight spots. And there'd be kids playing everywhere. So sometimes if you weren't careful, if you were just a random kid walking in the middle of the park, you got hit.
Right.
Accidentally, sometimes it just happens. I should know. I've been a victim of that a few times in my life, you know, where other guys would collapse into me and I would take like a few hits. It would just be kind of monstrous a little bit.
Right.
But I also wanted to play baseball. I wanted to be a home run hitter. And growing up, I idolized Ken Griffey Jr. I idolized A-Rod, well, before the steroid usage, Daryl Strawberry before the cocaine usage, Bernie Williams, who I thought was very underrated. I grew up on
Barry Bonds.
Chipper Jones was my all-time favorite player, Chipper Jones. I'm happy he's still playing. This is going to be his last season. He's going to ride off into the sunset. I enjoyed watching him play. When I played the triple baseball games on PlayStation, Triple Play 97, Triple Play 98, all of them.
Uh-huh.
He was my favorite player to play. You know, like when you're a kid, and if you play, like, let's say you will create a player. And
right.
I used to do this a lot of sports. I used to create a player. I would put all of my player attributes and ratings at the highest that they can go. So all my stuff would be like 90s, like 85 and up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I still do that with Madden.
And I used to make trades. So I would try and get all the best players at each position on my team. Yeah, I was a cheater. I used to cheat. And I would
play cheating,
on...
That ain't cheating, brother. That's playing to win.
And sometimes I play on the easiest skill level. So I'd be putting up a lot of points. And I would play, you know, hit a lot of home runs. And he was one of my favorite players to hit home runs with because he was always automatic. There's a reason why they call him Chipper, because the guy could just crack a baseball, just literally
right.
crack it. But playing Madden, you know, I used to play running back. I used to play wide receiver on the games, cornerback, and I would put my attributes on. I would have, like, all the high-juiced-up players, and I used to trade for some of the best players on from any team, and I would have them all playing on my team. So, for
yeah,
example,
I used to do that
quarterback.
Too.
I used to create
yeah.
a quarterback, but just in case something happened to him, I used to trade for, like, a Brett Favre, a Troy Aikman, or a Steve Young, just in case.
Right.
Or John Elway or Dan Marino, just in case, because you never know. You never know what can happen, you know. Players get hurt and everything. But, yeah, that's what I used to do. And I never could be a good pitcher. Pitching just wasn't my thing. I could never throw a baseball like that. Sometimes I used to throw a baseball and I would duck for cover because I'd be afraid that if a guy hit a baseball, the baseball would come flying at me. And I used to kind of duck like I was chicken. So I would throw
right.
the ball. Then duck for cover, kind of hold myself, you know, like protection or whatever, so I wouldn't get hit. I used to play, we used to play baseball where instead of using the actual baseball, we would use a tennis ball. And we used to play underhand. We always had to throw underhand because if we throw overhand, we hit the guy. You know, you're
yeah.
a kid. So
yeah.
if you throw underhand, you're going to hit a kid. The kid going to cry. He's going to tell his parents. You're going to get in trouble with your throat.
Right.
And
his parents will cuss you out. Your parents probably going to whoop your ass.
and that would be the end of that. And then they would
right.
say, well, you can't play with those kids no more, or you're going
right.
to punish me for a week. You can't
right.
go outside
Look,
unless you're going to school.
It's just more trouble than it's worth.
Out the garbage. And that was it.
It's more trouble than it's worth.
And so I used to be careful. But I would, when I played pitcher, I used to play underhand. And
right.
anybody I was pitching to, they would hit the ball. The ball would hit me either in the head in the chest. One time I got hit in the crotch. It hurt like hell. I mean, they say you should never stand close to a person. Well, when you got a certain amount of distance between a guy. So I'll be right in the middle of the field, no underhand, and you know, some of those guys could actually hit. But, man, the results may vary, especially if you got hit with the ball. But thank God
yeah.
it was a tennis ball. So tennis ball didn't hurt.
Better than a real baseball or softball.
But if you got hit with an actual baseball, I used to play with my baseball, this old baseball signed by Ryan Nolan, who used to be the pitcher of the Texas Rangers, one of my favorite all-time pitchers. So I used to play with that ball, and I got hit with it every time. Because, you know, a bunch of my friends, we would play on a regular field. You know, again, regular street clothes. We didn't have on no padding or nothing. No shoes, nothing. No hats, nothing. I learned my lesson. When you come to play stuff like this, you better have yourself strapped up. Because if you don't, that's your ass.
Right.
It's as simple as that.
That's your ass. It's your ass, Mr. Postman.
But pitching was never really my thing, and I can never be a catcher because I'd be afraid that when the pitcher throw overhand, that ball coming at you 100 miles per hour, you better protect yourself. That,
right.
I, when I was a kid, I used to be like, I see why those catchers wear those masks in front of their face because they don't want to get hit. Because if they do, they're going to lose some teeth.
Break
the nose, the eyeball might get hurt or something. You never know.
Right.
And I can never play outfield because I can never catch a ball like that. I can never catch a ball, especially if I had bare hands and I didn't have a catcher's mitt on me. And, again, most of the time, me and my friends, we didn't have a lot of the accessories. So some of us got to play with mitts because, basically, if you had your own stuff, you could play with it. And if you had enough, you let somebody borrow, you know, a couple extra stuff that you had. I never had no baseball stuff like that. So I used to play with my old stepbrothers and my old brothers and use some of their stuff because they always had everything. Whenever I'll go over their house on the weekend, I always play with their equipment. But,
I remember when I was little, you know, all the thing I had was the ball. So, you know, it wasn't baseball for us. It was stickball.
Now, normally when you had the ball, you found that ball laying around somewhere. It was either sitting on the street or at a corner, and you took it home because you're like, hey, ain't nobody going to claim it for me.
Right.
You don't believe how many footballs I used to steal. You know, those old Nerf plastic footballs. I used to steal those a bunch of times because they would always be sitting around everywhere. Sometimes kids would leave them there. And I would pick them up and, you know, take them home with me, put them in my book bag, and, you know, be on my way. One man's trash.
I'll be trying to tell my son that. Do not leave your balls outside because motherfuckers will take them.
That's like leaving
a bike. You got to learn that shit the hard way.
That's like leaving a bike. If you leave your bike outside, somebody's going to snatch your stuff.
Somebody's going to snatch your bike, right.
And bike riding was something I always wanted to do. I used to go for bike rides everywhere. Now, being in Detroit, I had to be careful where I was going. So if I went for a long bike ride, I would have to ride with my father or my brother-in-law.
Right.
You know, they were like my parents, legal guardians or whatever.
Right.
Since moving out here to the suburbs, I used to go for bike rides around my neighborhood. Now, you know, at my age, you know, being 26, I go for miles. I go outside the cities. Like, I could ride from West Bloomfield to, like, Livonia, which I have. I used to go for those long, extended bike rides. So I would ride about, you know, 10 to 15 miles in order to get some good strength and conditioning. And I'm thinking, man, I wonder how people like Lance Armstrong and Floyd Landis can do this full time. You know, on the bikes that they use, because those bikes
training.
Are much different than the bikes that I use. But those
guys, they put their bodies through rigorous training, so it's not shit to them.
Yeah. And I see why a lot of people, because, you know, going downtown Detroit, you know, on the Belle Isle Bridge, I used to see people, you know, go up and ride their bikes. Like my girlfriend, she does it. She did it recently. She took part in a bike-a-thon. And I'm thinking, man, what I would love to do that again. Because, you know, we used to go for those, we used to be on those little bikes, you know, those little children's bikes. And I outgrew mine. You know, the bike that I got now, I outgrew it. You know what I'm saying? I can't ride that thing no more. But it used to get me from here to there. I used to look at it the same way as a car. It might not have been in the best condition, might not go as fast as most bikes, but it gets me to my location.
It gets you from point A to point B, and that's what matters.
And as long as you got to where you needed to be, you were good. Whether the bike had a bad wheel or one of your brakes couldn't work, and believe me, we all had bikes where the brakes will wear out eventually because we overused the bike, and sometimes we didn't take care of the
right,
bike.
How
much.
Many look? How many times you just rode your bike up the block full speed and then just slammed on the brakes
and ran into something?
Ran into something, right?
I used to wear out my brakes. Where if I was going for a long ride, and if I wasn't careful, I would hurt myself, and I got into an accident a couple years ago where my neck suffered some minor damage, and I landed and I fell off my bike, and it was pouring. It was raining that night, too. I was coming home from work, so that didn't help much to my cause. So
right.
My clothes got wet. My neck was sore. I felt like my neck was like the bone was broken. And it was like that for about at least a week or two. So it was messed up. Plus, the bike I was using, the brakes weren't working. So you had to stop the bike with your feet. Where if you're going full speed, which I was before that accident had occurred, yeah,
right.
You got it. You got the worst of it.
Uh-huh.
You got the worst of it.
Shit, I done got more than my fair share of stitches and shit, you know, falling off
the
bike and, you know.
We all got our fair share of bumps and bruises.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Especially if you're a boy, it's part of being a boy.
Yeah, that's the whole manhood thing.
Right.
You know,
you don't get no bumps and bruises, you ain't no boy.
You live and you learn.
Right.
One particular sport I could never do was swimming. I hated swimming. To this day, I will not get in the water, not even at a minor pool party. I cannot do it. It's not that I'm afraid of the water. I just can't swim. It's that simple. That's like going to a pool party and you don't see nobody get in the water. Well, there's a reason for that. Folks can't swim.
Yeah, that's a black pool party.
Pretty much. That's a black pool party. I don't understand why is it that black folks have pool parties, but you don't ever see nobody get in the water unless it's like a model, like a few females. They be sitting at the edge of the pool. They're not really swimming. They just be sitting there chilling.
Right,
they're chilling,
dipping their toes in the water.
Right, if you're like me, you're sitting, but you got your feet hanging in the water.
Right.
So that's as far as you're going to go.
Yeah,
and
because black folks don't do water like that, man.
And the thing is, you know, I used to try to learn how to swim. I used to take swimming lessons as a kid, but I failed miserably.
Right.
Because I could never swim. I could never adjust to doing, you know, backstrokes and front strokes and stuff like that, the swimming techniques that you use. Like what Mike Phelps has been doing, I couldn't even come close to doing anything like that. I remember in high school when we used to take personal fitness classes where you got a chance to learn how to do everything.
Yeah.
Swimming was the one thing that I skipped. I'm like, you know what, I know my grade's going to drop, but it's okay. It's a gym class. I mean, I'll do fine in everything else. You know, if I pass with a C+, that's cool. If I lose points for not participating in the swimming part, then that's cool. Like, if I had if my grade was an A, dropped to a B, but eventually it would go back up to an A because we would still do other stuff. So,
right.
You know, I sacrificed swimming because I couldn't do it. And the funny thing is I'm an actor and I'm trying to be like an action star. I may be the only action star who will never, ever get in the water. And if I do, they better have like a stuntman on deck or something because ain't no way in hell I'm getting in the water like that. You better have me like hooked up to some straps or something while I'm only in the water for like a few minutes and that's it. I ain't trying to dive into no water like that. And I was, when we were filming this past weekend, I was looking at the water. I'm like, man, I could never, ever jump in a lake that deep or any river whatsoever. I wouldn't even get in the water. You know, I wouldn't even out there on the lake, it's going to be because I'm on a boat fishing.
Wouldn't even ride no jet ski or a small-ass boat on the Detroit River.
Jet ski, I'll ride. Jet skis are exciting.
Not on the Detroit River.
Yeah,
good
I sure
going,
would.
Bro. Good
I
joke.
Did. I did it once when I was a kid. My father had these old jet skis. We used to rent them out whenever we used to go downtown because we used to go to, like, you know, pulling events and stuff. My father was big on it back then. And he used to run out these jet skis. So I would have on these rafters, you know, these jacket rafts, and I would be, like, sitting on it. He would be sitting behind me, and he would be the one controlling it. So I would just be sitting there riding and everything. And, yeah, this is, like, right there, you know, on the river, you know, by the island of Belle Isle. And, yeah, we used to ride out there. I'd like to get out there and do it again one day, you know, having a jet ski. You know, that was kind of fun back then. That was kind of fun. Growing up as a kid, when I was, like, in high school, taking these personal fitness classes, one particular sport that I was really, really good at was this game called team handball. Basically, team handball is a game where it's kind of like basketball. It's kind of like football a little bit, but you don't get tackled. You have the hand in your ball. You basically have the ball, and you got the goalie. You got the goalie who's standing there. Basically, you have to throw the ball with your hand, and if you get past the goal, it's kind of like soccer.
Oh,
so
I saw it in the Olympics just passed.
Yeah, they still do that today. You don't see too many people do that. It's kind of like a schooling activity that you do for, like, personal classes. Like, out here in the schools
right.
that I've gone to, that's, like, a big thing that they do. It's basically part of the team requirement. When we used to get the school syllabuses, they used to have the list of sports that we would be doing. So that was one of them. That was actually a fun sport. I love doing that. I really, really love doing
that. Actually, that looks fun. I've never played it before, but it looks like it's a lot of fun.
It requires a lot of energy. It requires a lot of physical strength and endurance because you're basically waving your arms around and you're moving your feet a lot. So you're not really standing
and you're running around
a lot. You
got to
move around quickly.
Yeah.
And it requires a lot of physical endurance and durability. But it's fun.
Right.
It's a fun sport to do. You know, you have to have a certain amount of people to do it because you have to have two teams. You have to have at least 10 to 12 people, including the goalie, on your team. And we used to have the whole gym, like the whole gym where you had one team on one side and one team on the other. Loved it. Loved it. Another fun sport, dodgeball. Man, I love me some dodgeball, baby. I love me some dodgeball. Now, I'm pretty sure you all out there can relate to that. I'm pretty sure you all can think back to when you used to play dodgeball, you used to throw the balls at people and everything. When I was a kid, I used to play in my class with, like, you know, if there was, like, a fine, attractive girl, that's who I was throwing the ball at because I was trying to get her attention. Like, hey, girl, come here. Wham! You know what I'm saying?
Nah, I was the asshole with it. I was an asshole with it. I used to like to just beam people, especially if I didn't like you. If I didn't like you, I would just beam the shit out you with that ball.
And you probably the one guy who cheated. You probably be the guy who crossed the line and go and chase after the person and throw the ball until you got a good hit on them. That was you. Yep, I kind of figured. That's you. Mm-hmm. See, me, I always play by the rules. But if I needed to, I would, like, use, like, let's say a certain level of protection, like a gate. So if somebody's trying to throw the ball at me, I would jump a gate or jump a fence or so and then jump right back over, you know, to protect myself. Because some things can hurt. You're not careful. Some things can hurt.
That's the point, especially playing with me. It's
fun. I used to never get hit in the head. Anytime I got hit, I got hit in the back. I got hit in the leg. I got hit in the knee. Sometimes I got hit in the lower stomach area. But I never got hit in the head or in the face, and I'm thankful for that.
That's what I go for. I'm going for the head.
Yeah, that can hurt.
I caught a couple to the head before, though. That hurts.
That can hurt. But if it was, like, an attractive girl who I used to play with and if she had, like, a nice-looking ass, I would just throw the ball at her ass and just you know, that was fun back in the day. That was fun back in the day. I was watching that dodgeball, true inspirational film with Ben Stiller and Vince Vaughn. And I'm like, you know what? If I ever take part in a dodgeball activity, I will. If I ever get a chance to do something like that, that would be fun. It just looks like it's a fun sport to play, and it is. And,
right.
you know, you don't have to have a certain amount of people. You can have, like, six people, and one person can be throwing the ball, or you can have three on one side and three on the other, and you can have a few balls, you know, set in the middle. And they said, on your mark, get set, go blow the whistle, run, pick the ball up, and do what you can.
Yeah, that's how we used to do it.
It's like a game of survival, too, because sometimes they have us, like, in this room where you only have just the door. So, you know, you have to run around for your life. And they have, like, a timer set. So we used to play for, like, up to 10 minutes. So basically it's 10 minutes of survival. And, you know, you basically have to spend 10 minutes, you know, just running around trying to avoid getting hit. And if you were the last person left standing before the time limit went out, you won. And, man, that takes me back to when I was a kid. I used to love playing that sport. I'd do it again if I had the time for it. I really would. that takes me back. That really takes me back. If I could, I would love to get into race car driving. But I look at it like Grand Theft Auto. If somebody hit me, I'm going to come after you and hit your ass back.
That's my theory. That's my theory of why ain't that many brothers in NASCAR. I mean, because think about it. He had a coldest car on the track anyway. I'm going to have a shit all rimmed up and all that, got whatever, and, you know. And then somebody hit his shit. I can see him jumping out that car shooting somebody, bro.
Well, you know, thank God that those are rental vehicles.
About cars.
Well, you know, those are rental vehicles, most of them. But I could tell you from a certain standpoint, take part in Daytona, where you got those really, where you got those little mini dragster looking cars. Those are the type of cars that I would like to drive.
Open wheel race cars.
Yeah.
See, I've always dug those too, as opposed to NASCAR.
Indy cars. Like, its appearance, you know, like what it looks like. I'm thinking, man, I could get into that. I really could. I really could get in on that. That looks like it's fun. But let's be honest, one sport that we all could really, really have fun doing is golf, because it's very relaxing. It's very stressful. The only challenge is learning how to hit the ball. After you master that, you are well on your way. And who knows, you could take it up as a hobby or you can get into it for real.
I don't know about that, Rob. Golf is boring as hell.
You got to learn how to enjoy it, though, man. You basically, golf is a sport that a lot of guys do after they retire from something else.
Right. Now,
you know,
see, I would want to learn how to play golf, you know, for networking purposes. But that would be about the extent of it.
You guys together, you go out there and just have some fun. Like me and my father and my brother, we're gonna do something where we're gonna take part at a country club where we're just gonna get our golf clubs. We're gonna go out there, we're gonna practice, and we're just gonna have some fun. Basically, like, it's a stress reliever. It takes your mind off a lot of different things. You know, you just wake up one day and just get out there on the field, on the course, and just, you know, go for it. Whether you're by yourself or two or three other people or more than that, it's a stress relieving sport. You know, a lot of people go out there to just do it just to have fun and take their mind off of work or any other personal issues that they're going through. It's a fun thing to do. And to be honest with you, I recommend anybody get into it. I learned how to play golf when I was 12. I used to first start playing miniature golf. We used to go to these miniature golfing places. Sometimes they have them at malls. Sometimes they have them at places where, you know, you got laser tag and stuff like that. So you had, like, laser tag in one room. You had miniature golf in the other. We used to go there.
You ever been to the Butterfly?
Yeah, the old Butterfly, the one out in Sterling Heights,
Old car racing. We used to,
kart
racing. We used to play putt-putt out there.
Yeah. It's still fun. It's been a while since I've been over there, but
it's been years since I've been out there.
It's fun. It is just so fun to do. I want to get back into doing that again, you know, just going to, like, a miniature golf, you know, take my girl with me and just go and have some fun. You know, it's so exciting. It really is. It really is. I used to love go-kart racing. That was my thing right there. Go-kart racing, like, I just wish that the track kind of extended a little bit. But I used to go to the go-kart, the one at, what was it, Cedar Point or Six Flags, one of them. I think they both have it now. But they had the old go-kart track.
Yeah, no, Cedar Point
used
to
back in the
80s, so I think that's the one you're talking about.
Yeah, but the tickets were like, you had to pay $30.
Yeah, you had to pay extra to go go-kart racing.
So if I was going to do it, I was going to do it just one time and one time only. And when I got my chance, I had fun doing it, but it was just something that I like, you know, because I like go-karts. I wish I had my own, to be honest with you. It just seems like it's fun to do.
Yeah.
And
it is.
You know, I see a lot of guys, you know, in my neighborhoods having their go-karts and their mopeds and stuff. I'm like, man, y'all got it good. If I could, I'd take it off your hands.
Yeah, over here is mini bikes.
Go-karts
and mini bikes.
The ones that you can ride in the middle of the street as opposed to the sidewalk, yeah, I'd take one of them too. If I had the money for it. One of these days, when I get some more money, I think I'm invest in one because it looks fun. You know, it's nothing wrong with taking it out for a little ride, you know, go around and stay out of trouble and just go and have some fun, you know, just go for a little joyride, you know. because that's stress relieving
right.
too, you know, as opposed to oh, golfing
yeah.
and everything.
I mean,
but
actually, in actuality, you know, to a point, driving is, you know, stress relieving like that too.
Yep.
Not driving in the city, though. So driving in the city is just frustrating as hell.
You got to come out here. You have to come out here and drive. Like, out here they got open roads where it's quiet.
Yeah. See, I'll show you can do that. You know, here, you know, driving out here make you want to kill somebody.
It depends on what part of Detroit you're driving in. Let's say if you're going, like, a certain part, like maybe downtown, you got all the buildings and the sightseeing and the sun is shining down and you got the music playing. You know, like
I mean, okay, like down there, yes, you got to allow for that, all that down there. But I'm saying, like out here, where I stay at, my neck of the woods.
Yeah, over by you, man.
These ignorant motherfuckers over here, man.
That wouldn't look fun. I'd rather go somewhere else, like, you know, suburban city, like let's say out here in West Bloomfield, where the weather, like the areas are nice. You got Wixom, you got Novi, just driving out when the sun is setting. You know, you got the moon peeking out. It's a beautiful sight to see. I tell anybody, if you ever want to go for a drive, come out here. You'll get plenty of practice and plenty of spaces to come out here and drive, and you'll like
you
it.
You walked in Farmington, right?
West Bloomfield.
Yeah, because my sister stays out in Farmington Hills.
Yeah.
And it was we was riding out there one day. You know, me, her,
yeah,
my son, and her kids, and it was just fucking beautiful out there.
Where that Target is? Yeah, I'm much further away. I'm close to Novi. I'm real close to Waterford, and I'm like a mile away from Farmington Hills. Because you know these towns are pretty big.
Yeah.
So they kind of stretch out a good 7-8 miles east, west, north, and south. Some of them are a little bit further than that. So it just depends on how far, what city it is and how far they extend. But in certain areas, they look real nice to come out here for like an open drive. Now, one other sport that I used to love playing as a kid was soccer. I used to, back in first grade at school, when the teacher used to tell us, you know, write down what do you want to be when you grow up, and you can write down about two or three things. I used to tell people one of them was going to be a soccer player. Soccer was a sport that I grew up watching. I went away from it a long time ago. Only time I get to watch it now is during the Olympics. But growing up as a kid, I used to love playing soccer, and I used to take it up as a hobby. The techniques that they learned how to do in soccer, I used to learn how to do all that stuff real good. But playing goalie was my specialty because I could utilize my body because, you know, I'm pretty tall. I'm pretty lanky, you know. I'm not ashamed to admit that. So I got long arms where I can stretch out and defend a goalpost. And plus it's great exercise. You know, you really get to move your body around and you really get to see what you can do and see how well you can measure up in that particular sport. Kicking the ball was just fun. We used to the worst thing about it is if you're not careful, you can kick somebody in the balls. And trust me, I've been on the receiving end of that. It hurts. Anywhere from the kneecap down, it hurts. And believe me, you're going to get kicked in those areas 9 times out of 10. It's one of the worst feelings in the world. Trust me. Sometimes I used to wear sweat clothes so I wouldn't suffer serious injuries because, you know, when you're playing soccer, you're wearing shorts. So your bare skin is exposed to, like, you know, gym shoes and stuff like that. And we never really wore actual soccer shoes. Sometimes we wore regular gym shoes. Or we would get, like, some old gym shoes that we rarely wear. Like, if we wear them, we just wear them for, like, you know, stuff that we're doing. And we would just put the shoes on, we go out there and we play.
See,
and,
I'm going to tell you, nobody told me how expensive being a soccer parent was, though. My son, he played soccer, man.
It's going to cost you an arm and a leg.
Yeah, that shit ain't cheap either.
It's going to cost you an arm and a leg, but at least you get to see the delight in your children doing something that they enjoy doing. That's the best thing about being a parent. My mother can never really afford, you know, lessons like that, so I had to depend on my father to do it. Or sometimes we just go out there and do it ourselves. Like, we would never really take part in a lot of programs and a lot of things like that. Like, my church, the churches I used to go to as a kid, I would take part in their activities. Like, my old church that I used to go to, we used to have these 3-on-3 basketball tournaments. The first year, I remember we came in second place. Actually, no, we came in third place. So we got like a trophy and everything, a trophy case, which is pretty cool. I used to love playing in those tournaments. I used to love playing ball, period. You know, especially playing with my brother. My brother and I, we used to be a team, especially in basketball. So we always played b-ball together. And, you know, we had a lot in common. We're both the same size. He's about an inch taller than me. He weighs about maybe 10 or 20 more pounds than I do. He's a little bit stronger. He's a year older. But our games were kind of like the same. We could block shots. He was a better offensive player than me. He could shoot the ball deeper. He actually had a funny little jump shot, and I'm a clowner the next time I talk to him. I'm like, man, remember when we used to play, he had that funny-looking jump shot? That sounds right up with us kids. We had a funny-looking jump shot. I had a funny-looking jump shot, and we used to clown each other about that. Like, man, my jump shot looks better than yours. Well, at least my shots go in, you know, that type of stuff. Just basic playing sports. And my brother, I used to play sports with him a lot. And my little sister, my nieces, we all used to go out and just have fun. That really takes me back to when I was a kid. That really takes me back.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. You know, how often do I get to spend time with my family like that, because we're all so busy doing things. And,
right.
You know, my brother, he performs. My brother's actually a hip-hop artist, believe it or not. He actually was the one who introduced me to my former business partner, my former colleague, Freddie Black. My brother, his name is Duane Griffin. You all can find him on Facebook. He's on my page. If you have trouble looking for him, just look in my family section. He's on there. He's happily married. He's a hip-hop producer. He's also a hip-hop artist. So he does a lot of his own stuff, and I'm looking to collaborate with him in the future. So, brother, if you're out there, man, let's get together. Let's lace up a track or two, you know. That really takes me back. That really takes me back. Back then, we used to spend a lot of time together on weekends, where we would just wake up, watch some Saturday morning cartoons, and then we'd go out there and play some sports, come back home that night, play some video games, and just, you know, watch movies and chill.
Yeah.
Yeah. We both had dreams of being athletic. We both wanted to play basketball, like literally. And he actually pushed himself harder than I did. But, you know, as you can see, we're not exactly athletes, but I know in my case, maybe I could play one on TV one day. And actually, I'm playing one in my movie now. So I'm damn happy about that. Me and my girlfriend both. So I'm very, very happy, and I can't wait to shoot that scene. So I look at it like this. If you're an actor and you had dreams of doing something as a kid but you couldn't get into that field, play that role on TV or in films or on stage. Play that role. and if you're like me, you know, and if you're a playwright and if you write your own stuff, you know, write a character for yourself and have that occupation. You know, it fits the bill. You know, it's what you can do and how well you can do it. But I would tell you, another sport that I can never see myself playing, UFC, kickboxing, because I will lose my mind. It wouldn't be UFC competition no more. I damn near would want to kill somebody. And I used to get in the fights when I was a kid.
Kickboxing, or I don't know about that UFC shit, but, you know, regular straight ahead boxing, yeah.
I used to be an amateur wrestler, so I used to kind of learn how to do things like that. That's why I grew up watching the old WWF, you know, now WWE, but I used to learn wrestling techniques. And I used to study martial arts because, believe it or not, I'm a former junior black belt. You know, when I was a kid, I used to take part in karate courses. And I
used to look like you fight through somebody's ass, low key.
I used to watch, you know, martial arts movies. Like, I used to watch the Karate Kid series. I used to watch the old Three Ninjas series, Ninja Turtles, you know, all those action cartoons and action films and stuff
thing
like
that. Old school. My thing was the old school kung fu movies, Bruce Lee and all those.
Yeah, me too. Jean-Claude Van Damme, Bloodsport, one of my favorite all-time movies. He was kicking some ass in that movie. That was actually based off of a true story. So shout out to Frank Dukes, who was just the man back then. He's no longer here with us, but he was great. He was a great martial artist. And I used to play the video games, you know, Street Fighters and Mortal Kombat. I used to want to learn how to do stuff like that.
Mortal Kombat was
growing up. Yeah? Yeah, growing up, I used to want to learn how to do certain techniques. And working with Giles Key and the Goblin Lady, he actually showed me a technique called the judo toss. He actually demonstrated the move on me in the trailer shoots that we were doing. So there was a move where I'm running, and I kind of like run and, you know, get my hands on the hood of his vehicle. He gets out the car because I'm running from someone. I'm like, hey, just take me to jail, because after I saw the Goblin Lady creature, I ain't trying to have no part in that. I'd rather deal with y'all instead. So he responds by getting out the car, takes me and does the judo toss on me. And it's a move where it requires quite a bit of physicality and acrobacy, or if that makes sense. And he used to kind of take me and he would throw me down, but the way I will land on my hands first and my feet, do a turn, and then land on my back and kind of roll on the ground a little bit. If you learn how to perfect it, and he's perfected it, it looks so sweet when you can perfect that move on somebody. Even when you take the move yourself, it just looks like the way you land, when you watch the footage, it's like, oh, damn, that looks pretty good. But I used to always be part of martial arts and stuff like that, because I used to learn how to do things like this. I used to learn the techniques and some of the moves. Again, like soccer, I went away from it, but while I'm in the process of training myself and getting my body back up to speed and working on developing my muscle, I'm learning how to do things like that now. So,
right.
You know, if you're like me, if you're tall, kind of skinny, you know, slender, you can really, really work out different types of techniques because you got the appearance for it. You know, so you can really perfect your body attributes to where you can do things like that. And, you know, when you're in the same fields as me and you're basically learning how to do, you know, action roles and stuff like that, no way better than to do, you know, the karate techniques. I think that's pretty awesome. So shout out to all the martial artists out there. You guys are doing great. I'm very, very happy for y'all. You guys are doing it. You guys are doing it great. So to all the boxers, to all the light heavyweights, to my main business partner, Damian Fuller, who is a former light heavyweight. He's in this film with me. He's playing one of my basketball teammates. You can check out the Love Has a Mind of Its Own fan page where you can see the pictures of the cast. He's the one with all the championship belts. He's the one who I worked with in the Shady production. That dude could kick some ass. He's got some old clips of himself on YouTube. I'm like, damn, that dude can straight up go. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm happy to call him friend. He's a good friend of mine, and I got a lot of love for that guy. Well, folks, we're almost at the end of our show. You all know pretty much the sports I wanted to play as a kid. My man, Mr. X, the sports he wanted to play, you know, the sports that we all grew up watching and playing. And if you're young, and to all you youngsters out there, it is not too late. If you want to play something, work hard, achieve at it, do the best you can to the best of your abilities, practice, dedicate your time to doing it. Don't just dream it and not do it like most people. Get out there. Give this
shot.
Don't
speak about it, be about it.
And work on your conditioning, work on your durability, work on your endurance, and really, really test your skills. So basically test yourself. Get a partner or get a family member if you have to, and just kind of study. You know, study sports. Whatever sport it is that you want to play, study it. Practice. You know, practice at least 1 to 2 hours per day. You know, get yourself in a bigger and better shape, because you never know. One day you could be the guy taking a game-winning shot and winning a bunch of championships, or catching a game-winning touchdown, or hitting a game-winning home run, or scoring a game-winning goal. You never know. That could be you one day. You see all these athletes that are playing today, they're in the same positions as you. So do it. Don't think about it. Get out there and give it a shot before it's too late. You have your time. Your timing is now. I would like to thank Mr. X for calling in tonight, as usual. Thank you for your support.
You know it.
I would also like to thank everybody who continues to listening in. This is our third installment, so we're having fun with it. Again, I can't thank you guys enough. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown. This is what we do. You can find
me
on Facebook.
Real quick, Rocket, real quick. You mind if I throw a plug out there?
Sure, go for it.
Well, you can also check me out along with my homeboy Freddie Black and Superwoman at the Black Woman Black. Black, ah, shit. at the Black Rocket Blast. Friday nights from 7 to 9. Once again, that's the Black Rocket Blast. Don't be going looking for no Black Woman Blast because you ain't going to be able to find that. But it's the Black Rocket Blast every Friday night from 7 to 9.
And you can find that on Blog Talk Radio every week. And continue to support the page. And to everyone who's a part of my cast, you guys keep up the great work. To my girl, Noelle Fry, a.k.a. Lady Rocket, I love you. Thank you for your support. We're going to get together, you and I, because I know you want to learn how to watch football and stuff. So I will teach you all my knowledge that I know. And I'm looking forward to, you know, spending time with you and watching games with you once the season progresses. Good luck to everybody's teams. Good luck to all your teams, you know, that you're watching, that you're supporting, fantasy football, all the good whole nine yards, everybody that you're watching right now, to the Oakland Athletics, despite your pitcher testing positive for testosterone. Let that be a motivation factor for you to get in the postseason and go all the way to the World Series. You may have to deal with the Tigers and, you know, the Yankees along the way, but good luck to your organization nonetheless. Again, congratulations to everybody who's accomplished something, all the athletes who accomplished great things, all the way from, like, you know, kindergarten to now. So keep up the great work. Next week, same time, same location, same Rocket. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown with yours truly, signing off. See you guys next Wednesday. Rocket Nation, get ready for a power trip. Take it easy. In the morning.